And we want to follow up on a story that made national headlines nearly 6 years ago, a police shooting in a Houston hospital that nearly killed a 26-year-old patient.
In developing news, a man from Mission is recovering tonight after being shot by an off-duty police officer in Houston. The family of 26-year-old Alan Pian says he is now conscious and breathing. Action 4's Nestor Mato.
Today, journalist Sarah Varney revisits this story to examine how a family is forever changed by a case like this. Sarah is a health policy correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Let's first talk about the Pian family. There's Harold Pian. He's a Haitian immigrant and internal medicine physician in Texas. His wife, Paloma, is an immigrant from Mexico, and their three sons are Christian, Alan, and Dominic. What did you learn about the parents' initial ideas when they immigrated here about American life?
So Harold Pian, he was born in Haiti to a quite wealthy family. His father went from being a judge in Haiti to getting a job working the elevator at Rockefeller Center in New York City. His wife joined him a few years later, and then eventually Harold and all of his brothers and sisters moved to New York. In Harold's view, racism did not exist. It wasn't a part of his childhood. For Paloma, she had grown up in Mexico near Veracruz and did not experience racism per se, she says. But both of them had this earnest belief in the American ideals of meritocracy, that if you come to the United States and you work hard, that there will be nothing in your way to succeed.
Your piece centers on the couple's son, Alan, and what happened to him 5 years ago. He's bipolar and would sometimes have delusions. During one hospital stay in Houston, his delusions escalated. Take us from there.
Yeah, so Alan had just transferred to a school in Houston, and he was starting to feel agitated. He had been hospitalized a number of years before for what they believed was a bipolar disorder, but he had never had an official diagnosis. So he started feeling agitated. He started having these delusions. And he knew enough to drive himself to the hospital in Houston. He was driving kind of out of control. He crashed his car when he got to the hospital parking lot. They did admit him. They never actually gave him a psychological evaluation. They never prescribed him any kind of antipsychotic medication. The next morning when Harold and Paloma arrived at the hospital, they wanted to get him some treatment. So they left the hospital for about a half an hour to go back to their hotel room and regroup. And during that time, Alan became delusional again, and he wandered into the hallway, and the nurses called a crisis code, and these two off-duty police officers from the Houston Police Department responded. They went into the room, closed the door behind them. There were no doctors, no nurses, no hospital staff with them except for these police officers. And the police officers said in their statements that Alan became hostile, that he was acting, quote, like a Tasmanian devil. They tased him. And when they say that when the tasing didn't work, one of the police officers took out his gun and shot Alan through the chest, narrowly missing his heart. This nearly killed him. His parents returned back to the hospital to find that Alan was in the ICU and that he had been shot. And they had a very difficult time over the next couple of days getting even answers as to what had happened.
This was huge news when it happened. It made national headlines. Alan faced charges after the shooting. How and why did this happen?
He did face charges. I mean, they charged him everything from reckless driving, coming into the parking lot, to assaulting a police officer. Here we are 6 years later. He is still involved in a lawsuit against the hospital. And the hospital continues to maintain that if an episode like this happened again, they would do the exact same thing. So this is, of course, Alan's and the whole family's great frustration, is that it just sort of stunned them and forced them to confront what they believed was the racist motivation behind the shooting itself and just the treatment of the family. You know, as you mentioned, Harold himself is a physician. Two of the three brothers, Dominic and Christian, are either in medical school or have just graduated from medical school. They have an uncle who's a prominent pulmonologist, also in the McAllen area. So these are people who are used to being respected in hospitals. And they found themselves just thrown into this alternate reality in which nobody could give them a straight answer and nobody could help them understand what had happened in that room.
This is where you pick up the story, because you write that the shot fired into Alan's chest would extinguish the Payans family's belief that diligent high achievers could outwit the racism that shadows the American promise. Equality would not be a choice left up to the trio of ambitious boys. They've gone on from this point to somewhat reluctant activists. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. Obviously, Paloma and Harold individually have their own notions of what it meant to be here in the United States and to be putting their roots down here. And each of the boys, though, each of the men, the young men, had their own reactions to this. For Christian, who was the oldest Payan son, his reaction was immediate, that we should not be quiet about this, that we should use what happened to Alan to advocate for change in the healthcare system. Alan was much more reluctant about this. He struggles with mental illness, but he was showing up going on Dr. Oz or having to go do another speech at another medical school. And while he wants to do those things, he also wants to sometimes just retreat inside himself, you know, live his life away from the responsibility that he survived. So Alan feels that he has this burden because he survived and so many other Black men have not survived their encounters with police, that he has to, in a sense, kind of make good on this survival. And Christian talks about how he doesn't want Alan to feel like a prop. He doesn't want other people to think he's using Alan as a prop. You know, there's no doubt that he is earnest and wants to make these changes in the healthcare system and more broadly in our society. But he's conflicted about what he should do with Alan's story since it didn't actually happen to him per se.
And he's still battling that.
Still to this day, he, you know, one of the things I write about in the piece is a few months after the shooting, Alan was back in McAllen, Texas, and Christian called the whole family up to New York City for this Rise Up October march against police brutality. Really the first time that the family had come together and very publicly joined in with all of these other families that have been touched by police brutality. And each of them really had their own experience with it. You know, for Christian, he was really clear that he wanted to be there. But then when he heard some of the, I described this in the piece, that there's a chant breaks out of F the police. And Christian feels that, you know, this isn't the tone we should be setting. So he wades into the crowd and he gets into this argument with a white family that's there whose child had actually been shot in the head by the police. And he's begging them to please, you know, let's change the chant. And Christian in his own mind is thinking at the time, you know, this was 2015, he was applying to orthopedic residency programs and only 1.5% of orthopedic surgeons are Black. And he, you know, talked to me about how he was nervous that everything is Googleable, if I can say that word correctly. And he was worried about this somehow impacting his career, but at the same time felt that this was unnegotiable, that he had to, in fact, move forward with this.
How is Alan doing?
Alan is doing well. Alan has just moved from New York City down to McAllen, Texas, and he is working at his parents' clinic. And I think he's still interested, you know, once COVID passes and hopefully once this lawsuit is settled, that he'll be able to be out and more public about what's happened to him and what he wants in the healthcare system.
You know, the reasons that you've laid out so clear that this story is important to you to share now is because it touches on all of these interconnected issues that we've been reckoning with in the last year since the murder of George Floyd, policing disparities in medical care, the way in which our societies address mental health emergencies. How are we to take stock of all of this with this particular story?
Yeah, I think it's very easy to become inured to the tragedy that so many families have experienced in the United States because of all of these things. And I think it's really important to understand that under each of these stories is not just the person that it's happened to, but to also, you know, everyone in the family, in the community. You know, this is something where it really truly does ripple out. And I think it's so important to go deep with each one of these stories to really understand what the total effect has been of this institutional racism, of the healthcare system, how we treat people with mental illness. You know, that it's not going to be enough for us just to kind of talk in platitudes or in policy talk, that we really have to get down to the sort of each individual family story and the emotion and the trajectory that this violence has sent into their lives.
Sarah Varney is a health policy correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and we'll link you to her story at hereandnow.org. Sarah, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.